From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Cairns with you once again to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for being with us today. We are going to be continuing today with the month-long study that we anticipate on Romans chapter 12. The subject is A Yielded Life, the Christian's Response to the Gospel. So I hope you'll stay with us as we look into the Word of God a little further in the book of Romans today. We'll be turning to that in a few minutes. But first we commence with our daily devotional Bible study from Leviticus chapter 11, verse 29, The Mouse. The Scottish poet Robert Burns, in 1785, when with his plough he disturbed a mouse's nest, described the mouse as a wee, sleekit, cowering, timorous beastie. Now, I'm not sure that my American listeners will understand the Scottish dialect. Wee is small. Sleekit is a word that means sneaky, cowering, and timorous. Beastie is a little beast, a little animal. So a wee, sleekit, cowering beastie, that's how Burns described the mouse. Moses mentions the mouse as an unclean animal. God decreed certain animals to be clean and others to be unclean, to give the Israelites continual reminders of the difference between holiness and sin. Every time they saw an unclean animal, they were reminded of their own sinful nature. The mouse, mentioned only 6 times in Scripture, is a powerful picture of sin. It's unclean, and sin is moral uncleanness. While certain animals are found only in some parts of the world, the mouse is to be found everywhere. Sin is universal, for all have sinned. Burns described the mouse as sleekit, as I told you, an old Scottish word for sneaky. It darts quickly here and there and can get into a house through the tiniest of openings. How like sin? Give the devil the tiniest opening and he'll invade your life with the mice of sin. Mice breed rapidly. One undisturbed pair in a house with sufficient food and water can multiply to 300 or 400 within a year. Sin breeds rapidly, as David discovered when he sinned with Bathsheba. One look multiplied into adultery, lying, murder, and trouble in his own home that lasted for the rest of his life. Mice are destructive and do great damage. Sin is always destructive and will adversely affect your life. Mice are attractive to some people. They like to keep little white mice. Sin can be attractive, and people talk, for example, of little white lies. Always remember the old saying, sin fascinates, but then assassinates. Mice must be dealt with, or they will overrun the home and destroy the quality of life. Likewise, sin must be dealt with. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can effectively deal with sin. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So be watchful today. Never forget Robert Burns' description of the mouse, a wee, sleekit, cowering, timorous beastie. And remember that there you have a picture of sin. Do not allow the devil's mice to ruin your day or your life. And our thought for the day comes from Matthew Henry. Our sorrows are multiplied when our sins are.
Jesus,
In bringing Let the Bible Speak to you day by day, we want to be a means of blessing to you all by pointing those of you who are not saved to Christ, and by being used of God to edify God's people and lead them into spiritual growth through an increased knowledge of Christ as He's revealed in the gospel. So if we can help you by sending you some helpful literature or perhaps a CD or a tape of the messages that you hear in the program, we'd invite you to write to us. You may write, email, or call us, and we'd be glad to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. The email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. As I say, we will look forward to hearing from you.
Lord, I hear a showers of blessing. Thou hast scattered full and free. Showers the thirsty land refreshing.
Now we turn to Romans chapter 12 and pick up the message at the point where I have just established that in response to the gospel, believers should let what they believe govern their behavior in every area of life. But Romans 12 goes further than that. And as you study this, it's very easy to miss it. But as you study it, you'll discover that this chapter recognizes that the greatest obstacle to the outworking of Christian faith in our lives, in all these areas, is what we call self. So the gospel's greatest triumph is in enabling us to deal with self, the ego, the great I. That thing that in one way or another stunts our growth, impedes our progress, and blights our testimony. It is not the devil who is the greatest enemy of your testimony, no matter how much the devil opposes. It is not the world that is the greatest obstacle to your testimony and to mine. It is self. And let that be dealt with. And I tell you, the devil will have a much harder time doing anything with us
or through us. The great truth of Romans 12 then is that if we would adorn the profession of the gospel with lives that reflect its power, we must give up our claim to self. We must give up our claim on ourselves, this foolish sort of independence, this foolish self-government. Now, don't misunderstand me. There is a self-restraint by grace. But I'm talking about this willful holding on to self and the promotion of self. It's only when we relinquish that to God that we will adorn our profession of the gospel. That's the key to this whole chapter. When you overview Romans chapter 12, it speaks really of one great theme: a yielded life, a believer's response to the gospel. That's what it's all about. This is the believer's response to the gospel. And what is that response? It's a yielded life. Spelling out, therefore, our duty in relation to God, the world, saints and sinners. Now, I do not suspect that I will get through the whole of Romans chapter 12 this morning. I could get through it, I'm sure, by the time of the evening service. But at least we're going to make a start at the very first verse. Because our response to the gospel must be this first, that we yield ourselves in sacrifice to God. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If I can even get this first point of the chapter over to our hearts today, it will certainly govern our attitude and all the rest. Yield yourself in sacrifice to God. Now, this is a very profound verse. It's a verse that has deep and great theology in it. On the very surface of it, you will see that it teaches that believers are to act as priests unto God. This is priestly language. This is the priesthood of all believers in action. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Now, we're not to offer sacrifices of atonement. Christ has done that. We've already quoted Romans 3:25. God set Him forth to be a propitiation. That's the sacrifice of atonement. Romans 4:25 tells me He was delivered, that is, delivered to the cross because of our offenses. He was raised again because of our justification. Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 6, says that Christ died for the ungodly. Goes on to tell you that scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And verse 9 tells us that we are reconciled to God by His blood. So He has made the sacrifice of atonement. There's no sacrifice of atonement in the Christian church outside of the finished work of Christ. I was reading a very friendly article by the AP's religion correspondent yesterday in the Greenville News about his visit to the Eastern Orthodox Church under the Patriarchate of Antioch, and how many Episcopalians are leaving and going into the Eastern Orthodox Church, and how many leaders left Campus Crusade for Christ and went into the Orthodox Church. He could have gone on how the fairly famous son of the more famous Francis Schaeffer left evangelical Protestantism to go into the Orthodox Church, to be priests sprinkling their incense and their holy water and singing 1,500-year-old chants as if that were commending them to God. sounded all so very wonderful. But here's the truth. Like Rome, that is a church that has at its heart an act of so-called worship, which is verily an act of blasphemy. For it is a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the living and of the dead. And I will state this not in anger, not in bitterness, but as the truth of the biblical witness, that any church or any movement that places in its worship a sacrifice of atonement made by any priest, pope, bishop, or person of any degree is not a Christian church, but is part of the blasphemous system of anti-Christianity. We must learn this. And in this ecumenical age, the battle lines must again be drawn on the very same place that the Protestant reformers drew them, the very same place that the apostles of Christ drew them. The once for all atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ that allows no priest, no minister, no man to bring to God some sacrifice of atonement. There is no such thing in the New Testament church. No, we are called to act as priests, but our sacrifices are to be sacrifices of thanksgiving. Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, "By him," that is by Christ, "therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." That's the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now when I look at Romans 12 verse 1, I find we're not only to act as priests, but I find that our sacrifices are righteously acceptable to God. Now look at that carefully. Our sacrifices as justified believers are righteously acceptable to God. They must be. Otherwise, they would be in vain. But how can they be? And here's the thing. In the Word of God, even in the Levitical system of the Old Testament, every sacrifice of thanksgiving is offered to God on the ground of a sacrifice of atonement. You remember Cain and Abel? Cain brought the fruit of the ground. Now, had he done what Abel did first and brought the blood of the lamb, then he could have brought the fruit of the ground as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. He wanted to do without the blood of atonement, and he was not received. I have no doubt that had Abel lived after his sacrifice of blood, that he would have brought many a sacrifice of thanksgiving. But the sacrifice of thanksgiving to be acceptable to God must always be on the basis of a sacrifice of blood and of atonement. And here is indeed the New Testament statement on the matter. We offer our sacrifice of thanksgiving on the merits of Christ's atonement. Peter said, 1 Peter 2, verse 5, "Ye also as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up" what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's the theology of this verse. It's great theology. But hand in hand with deep theology, there's also something very simply practical. Paul says, I'm beseeching you, pleading with you, entreating you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean? I have heard preachers get fairly involved as they talk about the sacrifice being death, but we're to bring life. And they get, I think they get their congregations more tied up in knots than anything else. What does it mean to present your body a living sacrifice unto God? Well, surely at the very least, it means that we should live sacrificially toward God. I think that's obvious. Out of thankfulness. A great Scottish theologian of many, many years ago said something like this: in the New Testament, religion, and he's talking there about saving religion, he's talking about salvation, acceptance with God, is all by grace. And ethics, Christian religion, Christian salvation, is all by grace. Christian ethics is all by gratitude. There's a lot of truth in that. May not be the entire truth, but there's a lot of truth in it. Out of thankful hearts we live sacrificially toward God. Present your body a living sacrifice. It means to place your body. And while there's a distinct emphasis on the body, it includes the whole being. Place your whole being on the altar to be consumed in the Lord's service and for the Lord's glory. That's what he's saying. Live sacrificially. Not selfishly. Sacrificially, if you believe the gospel. And that sacrifice must have a clear condition. Must be holy. Can God accept anything else? Now we have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. That's justification. But whom the Lord justifies, he always, inevitably, sanctifies. If you're going to present your life to the Lord out of gratitude for the gospel, what you bring must be holy.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.